Hi, Gwen. How are you get along with your new house?
Pretty well, Naren. We're learning our way around the village.
Have you found everything you need?
Yes, but we haven't figured out what to do with all our trash. When we lived in the city, there were trash collectors who took it all away in a truck. But here, we have to deal with it all ourselves. We're not sure what to do with it all.
Oh, yes. That's a problem, all right.
Yes, and we have piles of plastic bags, bottles, tin cans, and things like that. And there's trash along the road. It's such a mess. And it seems everyone has the same problem here. What can we do?
Carol, it sounds like this small village is really having a problem with their rubbish.
It does, and I know that it's a concern, because rubbish that is just left out can be a source of all kinds of problems.
Hello, my friend. This is Women of Hope, and today we're going to address the problem of rubbish.
Many cities and towns have trucks that come and pick up the rubbish, and they often have ways of sorting it out. Some rubbish can be recycled.
Now, what that means is it can be used again in some other way or made into other things. It's really good to recycle paper, glass, plastics, and metal. But if you don't have a recycling system or a rubbish collection system where you live, what can you do?
Let's think about how we can overcome most of those rubbish problems ourselves.
Well, Carol, let's start small, like with our leftover food scraps. Maybe we can make soup or something from them, but if they're not suitable to eat, we can bury them in the garden and the worms will turn them into good soil.
Or we can make them into a compost heap for fruit and vegetable scraps and garden rubbish. Now, we've talked about this before. An old rubbish bin makes a good compost container. You can make some big holes in the bottom or bury it so that just a bit of it shows above ground. Put your vegetable scraps and garden rubbish in there and then put the lid on it. When it's full, start another bin. By the time that one's full, the rubbish in the first bin will have become very good fertilizer. Put it on the garden and then start filling the bin again. Worms and insects break down the plant rubbish and turn it into compost for the garden.
You can bury tin cans, too. They're okay because they will eventually rust and become part of the soil. You can use them for storing things, and then when they're too old or they have holes in them, you can bury them. They're good for the soil.
And paper or cardboard will also break down in soil.
Yes, we do that. We sometimes tear up paper and dig it into the ground, or we spread bundles of wet paper on the ground between the plants. It helps to stop the weeds from coming up. Of course, you can burn paper too, if you have to have fuel fire. I've seen people make fuel blocks from piles of old paper. You shred it or tear it up and then soak it in water for a few hours, or soak it first and then tear it up. Either way is good. The wet paper becomes a bit like clay. You mash it up and shape it into blocks or flattened balls with your hands, squeezing the water out of it. Then you just need to leave it in the sun to dry. When they're really dry, you store the blocks and you use them as fuel. Paper is made from wood, so it's a bit like burning wood.
That's a great idea. Turning rubbish into free fuel for the fire? I'm sure the children would enjoy making those paper fuel blocks.
But what about glass and plastic? They're the big problem. They don't break down if you bury them.
We all keep a few glass and plastic containers to store food or other things. But what if you have more than you need and no one else wants them?
Some people use glass bottles to make walls. They'll last a long time, and when they're all stuck together with cement, they can make a strong wall that looks good and lets light in. You may be able to make one in your garden or even as part of your house.
You know, that sounds fun. But what can we do with plastic? Most types of plastic won't break down. You could fill plastic bottles with sand and use them to make walls, the same as glass bottles.
You said plastic doesn't break down, so we must not let it get into the streams and rivers, because that would be bad for the fish.
And it's even worse when it does break into small bits, because the fish and the turtles and the other sea creatures eat it, and they die.
So, what can we do with all of our plastic bags and other plastic rubbish? It's not a good idea to burn them. When plastic is burned, it gives off dangerous gases that can make us sick, so don't burn it. Try to reuse plastic containers for storing things. But I think the best thing to do is to simply use less plastic and glass or anything else that you can't get rid of easily. Maybe you can take your own containers back to the market or store instead of buying food in bottles and packets. Less packaging means less rubbish.
Now, let's talk about something a bit more delicate. Our own personal human waste. I hope you're not too embarrassed to talk about this.
What's the best way to deal with human waste? If you don't have a sewage system and you don't have much water.
This is a very common problem in many parts of the world today.
Well, it's okay to just bury it each day, so long as you dig fairly deep holes and cover it with a good layer of soil each time. It will be eaten up by the little creatures in the soil, such as bacteria, fungi, and worms. And when it's broken down, it will be good for your field or garden. This is much cleaner and safer than just using a field or garden as a toilet. And it's better for the soil, too.
You know, one of the most valuable things that a community can do to improve their health is to work together to build toilets or latrines. There are many different types of toilets. It depends on the type of soil and how much water there is available. If your town or village doesn't have a good toilet system, talk to your village leaders or to other women and find out what would suit your situation the best. And whatever you decide together, remember, it needs to be built in a place where waste cannot get into any wells or rivers.
And do ask them to make it easy for women, disabled people, and old people to use.
It is so important to keep our homes and our streets clean. Rubbish provides food and shelters for rats and snakes and mosquitoes and bacteria and all kinds of other pests.
Ew.
And they can spread diseases. A clean home is a healthy home, and a clean village is a healthy village.
So let's remember some of these important facts. It's important to make less rubbish in the first place. Try to buy things that don't have a lot of packaging. Packaging wastes a lot of resources and just makes more rubbish.
Recycle your paper, your glass, and metal if you can, and try to find other uses for packaging, like boxes and jars.
Some rubbish will rot down in time. Bury it or make compost from food scraps and garden rubbish.
And this is most important. Do anything you can to get a safe, clean toilet.
Oh, that's the one I like. I hope you've got some good ideas today about getting rid of rubbish. Next, we have a story from Kate. It's about how we can get rid of some of the rubbish that builds up in our own lives and our hearts. Today, we want to share a story from our friend Kate. Now, we've told you about Kate before. She left her home and country to work in a place across the world to help the people rebuild their country after a long war.
One day, Kate was drinking tea with a young woman. We'll call her Nazira. Nazira told Kate her story. Her father was killed in street violence, and her stepfather beat her. Then, when she was 13 years old, she was forced to marry a violent older man. Now she was a widow with three tiny children, and she was very poor. Nazira told Kate her story with dry eyes. her voice very flat. Kate listened, her chest tight with grief, thinking, no, this is not the will of God. God created us to know love and joy and peace. But what can I say? What gift can I give Nazira? Then Kate thought of her own life. She took a deep breath and she said to Nazira, I had a stepfather who beat me too. I hated him. I didn't grow up with faith in God, but when I was 20, I believed in Jesus Christ. I realized that God loved me, and I confessed the wrong things that I'd done and thought, and God forgave me. I found sweet freedom because I knew God forgave me. Nazira was puzzled. She thought that everybody was born belonging to a religion. But Kate told her that she needed to believe in her own mind and heart. Nazira understood that there was a God who created the world, but she didn't understand that God could forgive her sins. Not ignore them or punish them, but actually forgive them. Well, that's when Kate explained. When God forgives us, he looks directly at our sin. He sees it, we confess it, we agree that we see it too, and then God takes our sin away and he puts it on Jesus Christ. We don't have to be punished because Jesus was punished for us when he died on the cross. And then Kate went on, after I received God's forgiveness, I learned that I needed to forgive too. And I thought about my stepfather. This was so strange to Nazira. How can I explain it? Thought Kate. And then she said, our spirits and our hearts are like deep wells, and the water is sweet, and we draw the water that we need. But as we live, bad things happen, and each time someone does something bad to us, it's like throwing a rock into our well. Every day we drop our bucket into the well, we draw up water. But one day we find we can't reach the water because there are too many rocks in our well. We have to clean out the well. Nazira understood this idea very well. She drew water every day. She knew that a well can get choked up with dirt and rocks and rubbish, and someone has to go down and clean out the well. And she knew the rocks that had been thrown into her own heart. Kate continued, every time someone hurts us, it's like another rock in our well. If we leave the rocks, we won't be able to get water. We must go down into the well and pick up each rock and then put it in the bucket. We must lift the rocks out of our lives and throw them aside. It's hard work. It really is, and it takes time and tears. One day I remembered a time when my stepfather beat me with a leather belt, and I was afraid. I felt angry as I remembered, and I asked God in my heart to punish him, hurt him. But instead, God asked me to forgive him. At last I could say, dear God, I forgive him for beating me. I was very wrong, and I was afraid. But I forgive him, and I ask you to forgive him too. Tears ran silently over Nazira's cheeks. She looked away, and then she looked back at Kate. You did that? She asked. You really did that? Yes, said Kate, and every time I thought of something else that he had done to me, I prayed to God again and forgave him. And when I forgave him, my heart became lighter. The anger left me and the pain began to heal. And the water in my well, the well of my heart, it became sweet. Nazira's tears fell and she wiped them with the corner of her scarf. She poured another cup of tea and they drank quietly together. When it was time for Nazira to go, she touched Kate's face and said softly, thank you. Thank you. Kate told me, I would love to know what that precious woman did with my words. I prayed that somehow she would find the strength to go down into her well, pull up the bitter rocks, throw them over the wall, and laugh again. Really laugh.
That story touched my heart. We're all on a journey, and every time we hear and understand a teaching of Jesus, he invites us to come out from some dark part of our lives and come into his light and truth. Jesus invites us to walk with him, learn from him how to really forgive. He'll show us how to find healing, love, joy, and peace. The things our souls really need.
We really need to think about how to forgive, don't we? Sometimes we think we should be the judges and decide the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned through the years that only God can really be the judge, and I can trust him to be just and fair. And I've learned that I need to be forgiven as well. It's a heavy thing to hate someone. It's like rocks in the heart. You hate someone and you become bitter and afraid. It paralyzes you. It stops you from moving on in your life. And the bitterness burns you and everyone around you. God made us to love, to laugh, and dance. But it's really hard to dance with a heart that's full of rocks.
Sometimes we just decide to stop thinking about something that hurt us. We think, if we ignore it, it won't hurt anymore. Maybe with time, we'll forget it. Is that really forgiving? Or perhaps pretending? When we forgive, we look at evil and say, I forgive that evil act. We let go of the wish to punish, to hurt. We leave the person in God's hands. We throw another rock out of our heart.
When the Lord Jesus was here on earth 2,000 years ago, he gave us a wonderful teaching. I'd like to read some words that he spoke to his followers. They're written down in the Holy Bible, God's word to us. Listen to what Jesus said. You have heard the saying, love your friends, hate your enemies. But I tell you something different. Love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you, so that you may live like children of your Father in heaven. Think about it. He makes his sun to shine on bad and good people alike and gives rain to those who do good and those who do evil.
That's a hard teaching in some ways, isn't it? Sometimes we would rather stay angry. We think it's not fair to forgive. Like Carol said, we need to trust God to make things right in the end. But Jesus knew what happens if we hate. People throw rocks and we throw rocks back, thinking it's our job to make things fair. And in the end, everyone is bleeding and hurting, and it's still not fair.
Jesus also said that God is merciful to us. He gives us what we need for life, and he gives us time to say, we're sorry, and turn to him. We receive forgiveness so we can begin to forgive others too. We don't forget what happened. If you have decided to forgive someone, you still might sometimes think about what happened, and the old bitter thoughts might even start again. But God has told us what we can do. Each time we can remember that we have forgiven, and we can ask God to bless them, not curse them, and that will set our hearts free.
Jesus also showed us how to forgive. He had enemies, people who hated him and were afraid of his message. At last, these enemies arrested him and condemned him to die. They beat Jesus and nailed him to a wooden cross to die. While he was dying, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Jesus didn't defend himself. because he was doing the job that he came to do. But God showed who was right. He raised Jesus from the dead and then took him back to heaven to rule the universe with him. Friend, we can trust God to do what is right. These are really hard things to think about, aren't they? Whenever I face those hard things, I like to pray. Won't you pray with us?
Let's pray now. Father God, we pray today that you will help us all to forgive others just as you have so freely forgiven us. You showed us how much you love us by sending your Son to take our punishment, and we trust you to show us how to live and forgive others when we ask you. Help us to remove the rocks from our heart and set our hearts free. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Well, we need to go now. Thank you for being with us today. If you prayed this prayer with us or you have questions about anything that we talked about today, we would love to hear from you.
You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org. Or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.
Goodbye, my friend. God bless you and your family.